Charlie. I'm Carla Menadict. I hope everyone had a good Christmas. I'm really, really nervous. It's not the first time I do a chair here, but it doesn't get any easier. If that gets a little bit harder, because I start thinking about, I spoke about like chapter one of my life, and then I spoke about chapter two. It's 15 minutes each time. I remember the first chair I've done here, I talked about until I was about 12. Right, and then I ran out of time. So the second time, I went to the second part of my story from 12 onwards. So I don't know where I stopped. I don't remember. But I will try to do a recovery chair instead of a war story or my using story. We all ended up here. We know what brought us here. And I believe that my story is not a lot different from yours and your experience. It might there be some variations in... You know, because people's lives are different, but I believe that it was basically the same thing that got us here, and maybe looking for a way out and a way of getting better, because it wasn't working anymore. OMG, I'm really nervous. I always talk a little bit about how it was for me before I got into NA, before I came into recovery. And I started using really early, and I liked it. I became one of, you know, I fitted in a group. I always felt a little bit inadequate, a little bit like the odd one out. Not because people made me feel like this, but that's the way I felt about myself. There was something lacking, and I didn't know what it was. My family was, you know, was dysfunctional, but that's all I knew, so it was okay. It's dysfunctional now when in hindsight, when I look back, that I realize they were dysfunctional. They weren't really like, you know, a normal family, but there's no addict in my family, and I've got a massive family. I'm Portuguese, we have big families, and I have about like 30 cousins, you know, and any of them uses drugs. But yeah, I was always a little bit different, and I wanted to be with people. I wanted to fit in here or there, or whatever. So I took drugs. I started drinking when I was 11, and when I was 12, I was smoking heroin, even before I smoked fags or puff, right? You know, and then I went to the fags and the puff and all of that, and it progressed really quickly. It was really... You know, sometimes I look back and I just think about how sad that was. But I thought at that time that was okay, and that's what I was supposed to be doing. When I was about 19, I was on two hard drugs. I was living homeless in Lisbon. I was living under a bridge. I was near the drugs. I normalized my situation, was all normal, was all okay. Except in the odd moment where I had, especially when I was rattling, I had that, wow, the hell did I end up here, you know, and wanting a way out but didn't know how. I never knew anyone who got clean, and I saw a lot of people where I lived there, a lot of people dying, really, you know, or disappearing but not getting clean. They got clean, but I never saw them again because they didn't return anymore to that place because they didn't have to. And in recovery, I found a few people through Facebook. They are in Portugal that used with me, and they're clean, and then in NA there. So that's where they went, a few of them. Thank God for that. I used for 24 years. I found recovery in London in 2008 in a detox unit. And it was funny the way I was introduced to NA. Some agent and I came in, and there was a guy there. And he asked me, you want to go to the meeting? He asked my name, and I said my name. You want to go to the meeting, Carl? And I said, oh, what is it? Oh, it's Narcotics Anonymous. I don't have a problem with drugs. I said, oh, really? What are you in the detox unit? Why are you here? So, oh, I had a little bit of a problem with alcohol, and I was scripted, but now drugs, I haven't touched drugs for a long, long time, you know, and he said, come to the meeting. So I went to meeting, and I got a white key ring, and what I heard there, I'll never look back, and that's the reality of it, you know. And I went to every meeting in that detox unit while I was there. I didn't understand anything of it. And I didn't care either. I didn't want to understand at that time. I just felt safe. You know, I felt safe that I felt that maybe, there's something different, you know, out there. So when I came out, I started going to meetings. And I remember, you know, sometimes I forget about this, but I must have been really desperate. When I returned home from detox, I had no benefits. I had no money, right? I had a 2.5-year-old boy that I had to drag to meetings. I walked all around South London with a fractured foot, right? Pushing my pram. My pram was my crutch, actually, you know? And I went to meetings. That's what I needed to be. I lived on coffee, fags, and biscuits for a long time, you know? And I was too proud to tell people that I, you know, that I was skint, and all the money I had, I couldn't even manage it, you know, because that's, I didn't know how to. I didn't have any life skills whatsoever. I used for too long, far too long. I didn't know how to socialize with people. I didn't know how to be with people. In my early days of recovery, I felt really awkward when people were talking to me, like people with a bit of clean time. I felt really inside. I felt like a child. Really immature and saying, I can't say anything because I've got nothing that these people would appreciate to hear anyways. I felt really immature. I looked in the mirror. I was a 34-year-old woman that felt like a 16-year-old and behaved like a 16-year-old. But I was growing up by coming to meetings, and that was my reality. It was funny because I was doing like loads and loads and loads of meetings. I didn't get any of this, but I just knew that that's the place I need to be. And doing 3 meetings a day, for at least for my first 2 years, I used to do that. I used to walk around all around South London for meetings, you know. I was quite skinny back then. And then I quit smoking, and then I found cream cakes. You know, but that's another story, you know. And so I started going meetings, and I looked at the steps, and I just thought, no way I'm going to do that. I don't need that. I'm special and different. I really thought I was different. You know, and then with time I start considering, yeah, step 1 and 2, I really don't understand. 3, no way. God, nah. Now that's aside. So I was doing like the cherry pick kind of program, but what I didn't know was I was practicing principles of NA without knowing I was. I was trying to be honest as much as I could back then. You know, that, you know, I was turning up, I was willing, I was open-minded. You know, even though I didn't want to know about the word God, I still stayed and I still said the serenity prayer. You know, and I still, you know, just go with the flow because there's people who are clean for a long time. It works for them. But I still had that niggling voice saying, but you're not like them. And then I was listening to people sharing their experience and I would go, I'm different. I never used that drug. I never used like the way you did. Crack, what's that? So I was looking for the differences, you know. And then one day I sat down and I listened to a chair, and I've heard someone from the other across the world, the other side of the world, sharing my story. And that's when it started clicking with me that, hey, oh God, 5 minutes, and start clicking with me that that went so fast. Clicking with me that it's not about what we use, how much and how little. It doesn't matter, really. All I knew was when I came here, I was broke. I was broken. My spirit was dead, you know. And as I mounted up the days clean, and then I decided to, I'm going to get a sponsor because I was a year in something clean. And I started doing a certain meeting, a step meeting, and I started listening to people, like, sharing experience on steps. And I started wanting what they have, which it sounded to me was a little bit of peace of mind, nothing else. It was just these people, you know, appeared to be quite peaceful. And they're not 1,000 miles an hour like I am. And it seems like something that I'm planning to stay here for the long run. This is a 12-step program, why not? You know, let's let's go for this. So I trusted someone, I asked someone to sponsor me, and I was her first sponsee. It was a bit of trial and error, and we carried each other through the experience of working those formally, working those 12 steps, you know, and I've done it in about a year and a half through the step working guide. And believe me, there's many times that I introduced that book to all the corners of my living room because I didn't want to do it. I had a resistance to do it. I didn't want to do it because I was learning so much about myself. And you know, ignorance is bliss sometimes, isn't it? You know, the thing is, when I decided to take responsibility, there's no way out. There's no blaming. There's no pointing fingers. There's nothing. That's just me. And it's me sitting looking at me. And taking, but it came great freedom as well with it, pain and freedom, because then I realized that by taking responsibility, I could change the future. I can't change the past because it's done. There's nothing I can do about it, but all I can do is change my future and not make it like it was for 20 years, something of my life, you know. I do loads of service as something that I really, you know, start doing from the beginning. And I was just to end on this, I was involved in this Christmas dinner, NA Christmas dinner, right? People love me so much. I was involved in this Christmas dinner and we had the raffle, right? I picked the prizes of the raffle and we had the raffle and it was an amazing prize, right? And I win second prize. And there were 200 people booing me from the floor. Booing me, you know. So how brilliant I was. I felt the love, man. I'm so grateful. It's a fix. No, it's not. Get over yourself. It's mine. I want it. You know, and it's funny enough, was the price that I wanted. I didn't want anything else. I just wanted that iPod. Right? I just wanted that iPod. And I got it. And I got it. I think it was God provides. You know, it was so much fun. It was mad. It was mad 2 weeks, like preparing. We were expecting a lot of people this year because of all the advertising on the website we were expecting. And there was 200 people that came in, had a great day, and they all got fed. We had an amazing day, another NA Christmas dinner that I'm proud to say I always get involved, and I always will, because it was my first proper Christmas was spent in NA. You know, I've got my family's all in Portugal, so I don't have the chance of spending, and probably I wouldn't want to either, you know, but I spend with people like me. There are people that I like and I have great relationships with that I built over the 5 years that I've been around. You know, that's priceless. There's nowhere else I would want to be on Christmas dinner, you know, or Christmas Day, besides with people in NA, really. Might sound a bit like corny, but it's true when it comes from the heart. Anyways, I'm getting a bit soppy, yeah, so I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.